is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, Love and Healing Solutions with Beth and Gil. Gil and Beth show people how spiritual truth can help you heal from emotional pain resulting in personal transformation. Gil is a highly skilled pastor who raised up 2 megachurches in Colorado, and Beth is known around the world as a top-flight psychologist, trauma expert, and gifted healer. Together, they inform and inspire people to recycle and repurpose their lives through the currency of a healed life from breakups and divorce, addiction, failure, loss, and change. Tune in for regular live broadcasts and the opportunity to dive deeper in one-on-one transformation. Please welcome back Beth and Gil to News for the Soul.
Welcome back, guys.
Well, welcome back to our lives.
How's it going?
Oh, it's been a rough. You know, Nicole. We always feel like we check in with you a lot when we're both kind of dealing with loss, or kind of raw about things. We just lost our little dogger Ellie this week. Actually, just 2 days ago. So we had. Picked her up. She was up in North Tampa as a rescue. She was almost 10 years old. And so we, picked her up as a rescue just 6 months ago. I was getting ready to go to my back surgery. And we had, my son Cade was here, our boy. And he, we said, what should we do right now? We had just put down, Ulani, who was, are just a beautiful Rottweiler. We're like a Rottweiler couple. And so this is a little mini Rottweiler that had showed up on our Facebook feed from a humane society that we follow. And we looked at her. She's this little dusty, way dusty, emaciated mini Rott, a little senior. And her stomach was full of garbage, and she had been bred for many years and then just left by the breeder in North Tampa. And so we were like, that little schnaker, let's go get her. And so we made some phone calls and figured it out and went up there and scooped her up and brought her home. And we made a pact, which is normally not a great thing sometimes. We said 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 years, we're going to give her everything we got. All the love we have to muster. She was this tiny little mini Rotty, and no lie, smile. She had dimples. And we looked at each other all the time and said, what in the world did we get here? She was just this beautiful soul. And if you know anything about Beth, and I tell her all the time, she's the best dogger mama of all time. So if you're a dog person out there, you'll understand this. If you're not, it's okay. No biggie. But boy, Beth does this thing. She's a healer. And that means of anything, even our couch, she will heal whatever you got that needs it. And man, Beth, she just poured her heart into this little dogger, Ellie. Her name's Eleanor. So we, Ellie Bell, and just an amazing, amazing dog. And so we were thinking, how it is, say 3 weeks, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years. You're thinking, Beth thinks in these terms, right? If you're a dog person, 3 years, 30 years, or 300 years, we're in, because that dog's going to heal up. She was really hurting. And boy, Beth just, we both did, but we just, Beth just knew. Looked up how to make sure we're feeding her right. And I mean, we flew in, and the thought would be she'd go forever. And she went about 4 months, and then she got lymphoma.
Oh.
And and not a little one. It's called T cell lymphoma, which is a terrible cell lymphoma, versus the B cell, which is the better kind. She got the T cell, which is massively aggressive. And so, man, we put her on a course of really being able to overcome. We gave her some chemo, you know, these kind of things. And this, man, it's just, I don't care if it's an animal or a person. When somebody has a beautiful soul and they go through something like this, it is just awful to watch. And so we actually went up to Tampa recently and met with one of the top people in Florida on this. And man, little Ellie Bell just couldn't do it, you know. And so she left us on Wednesday. And you know how they kind of tell you when they're ready, you know.
Yeah.
And she woke up that morning and she had, you know, with some blood in the bathroom. She's starting to bleed out a little bit. Anyway, all I have to say is she's been next to us for the last 6 months doing this show. And I mean massively next to us. Like if she could, she'd be like, hey, everybody. She smiled. Yeah, she was ready for the show every week right here. Mm-hmm. And she'd scamper right across Beth's feet and jump on up next to her. And so anyway, just so you know, we're a little lost.
I'm a dog person. I totally get it. My dogs are always right there at showtime too. All of them.
Been talking a lot this week, and I don't know if your listeners deal with this, but the more you love, and I mean really allow yourself to drop into your heart, this is a tough thing about, you know, you said I love your show. It says, you know, by the way, Beth would talk, but she's crying a little bit here, and she'll jump in. But you'll say from the uplifting to the unexplained, you know?
Yep, the full gamut.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, it's like, the more uplifting you are, and this is really true, the more uplifting you are, the harder it is when you experience loss. When you ramp up love, when you ramp it up, and I know your listeners are big on this, you know, is that, you know, they're big on love, right? But that comes with a price. Like, make no mistake on that. You know, it comes with a price. And, you know, it's like Beth said this week, she's like, I don't know if I can do this again. And that's the price, right? The price, I poured out my heart. But then there's this really tough point where you realize how risky that is. And so, you know, Beth and I, all the time, we say to people, come on. And I mean, what we're talking about, this personality trait's gone wild, right? It's like, come on, you know, we're talking about the way of love today versus the way of judgment, which you talked about last time. But the thing is, in the way of love, you'll go, that's it. That's exactly it right there. You know that it's connecting with your heart. And then you realize that there's a price on that. And so the whole deal all the time, C.S. Lewis used to say this. He'd say, man, please be careful to not check out if you're a lover. You know, if you do life the way of love, you're going to be tempted to go, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done loving people and dogs and whoever, whatever you love, right? It's like, I'm just done. And I get it. Like, we do. I'm not looking at Beth going, oh, come on. You know, it's like, of course you would think that way. You gave your entire life to this deal. So anyway, I just want to encourage, you know, if your listeners today too, or our listeners are going, hey, I don't know if I want to stay in the game of love here. I'm not so sure it's something I want to keep doing. Just know you're right on. You're only asking that because you really love. You know, in our culture, it's, oh, you're in pain over a loss. You lost someone or dog or whoever you are, right? And the first thing we do is go, oh, get over that. Here's another puppy. this is what we do. We bury the pain and replace the loss. This is how our culture does it. Our parents used to say, right, when I grew up and we had to take our, you know, my first dog in to put her down. I wasn't told when they took her in. They didn't tell me. And I got home from school and I go, well, where's Peanut? Right. Well, where's Peanut? And I'm looking around the house. Right. I'm looking everywhere. Where's Peanut? And my mom's in the kitchen and she's like, doesn't know what to say. And so then it becomes, well, Gil, sit down. You know, here we go. The family conference, which is I hate family conferences. Right. Because the family conference wasn't called to celebrate anything. The family conference was always called to talk about really hard things. And so it was, hey, your dad took Peanut in this morning, right? Here we go. And I'm like, and for what? You know, okay, she's at the vet. Okay, we're good. No, she's not at the vet. Where is she? And it's like, we had her put down. Well, no one told me. You know, and then I start crying, right? And it's like this, don't cry. We'll go out and get another puppy.
Yep.
And that's our culture. Bury the pain. Don't cry. Our culture doesn't do well with this whole emotion thing. Matter of fact, it's really scary. So we have a way to, we say, bury that. Don't do that. Don't cry. And then we'll replace the loss. We'll get another puppy. And I'm sitting there going, I'm not good with, I need time. You know, we need time. We need people who don't go, hurry up with that. It's like, well, no, I don't want to hurry up with that. I want to really work this through. Well, you know, well, it's, and then you sit at dinner, right? And there's no conversation. It's just dead silence. And it's like, oh, crap. We hope Gil doesn't bring this up, you know? And then it's, well, if you bring it up, we just got to tell you, we're just going to go get another puppy. So we just want to say to your listeners, you know, it's okay. Take your time when you're grieving. Matter of fact, if you're grieving a loss, good for you. It means you loved. It means you loved. And then, by the way, don't give up on that. Don't give up on that. You know, I looked at Beth and I go, you're the best healer in the world. The world still needs you. You know, don't give up on that. You know, don't, you know, let your rawness speak to a world that doesn't know what to do with pain. Have no idea what to do with it. And it's okay. So anyway, we just want to say, hang in there. We are, you know, we are. We're not going to give up on this thing.
I'm curious how you avoid the pitfall of the never again thing, because yeah, I just went through that recently with a soul sister of mine, and you know, watching another pet die and suffer, and you know, she loves them so deeply, right, that she was just doing that. Nope, can never have any, you know, can never love anything in the house again. Of course, now she's got a whole house full of it's like a small hobby farm now. So she got over it, but I mean, that is her initial thing, is to go, and yeah, some of us don't work through that, right? We close. So how do you not stay closed?
Well, it's interesting. I have a friend who, he lost his dog more than a decade ago, and he got one of the most loving people we know. But he did that. He said, never again. And he meant it. Myself and your soul sister, Nicole, said never again. Of course, I changed my mind within 12 hours.
Yeah.
But,
that's so true.
But, I know. I'm like, no. Mm. But, yes. No, but he, and he still maintains that stance. And he loved dogs. Love him. Ulani met him for 2 seconds and went running up to him. I mean, they love him. They love him. But he's like, no, I can't do it again. My stepmom, same thing. She lost a dog, a doxy, when she was little. Now she won't even let herself love anybody else's dog. I mean, no dogs for me. She comes to your house. She's like, oh, why is your dog following me around? It's like, you know what? You can actually pet her. But, you know, there's a real thing there that happens. And I think just from having gone through it myself now, you know, Ellie was my fifth dog. My fifth Rottweiler.
My third.
And Gil's third. And
I'm very angry at Beth for introducing me to Rottweiler. You know, we need a little marital counseling on that.
But, you know, from personal experience and also from, you know, walking through this whole thing with clients and people and friends, not just animals, but people too, losing people, that I think, I know those comments come out of rage. I know it does for me. It's like,
you explain that.
Yeah. I am so mad that she's gone. And I'm sure I'm mad at God. And I'm sure I'm mad at myself because I didn't do enough. Because, you know, I'm a perfectionist, which was our personality trait gone wild, part one. But no, it comes out of anger and deep grief, but anger.
Who are you mad at?
Me and God.
What are you mad at yourself about?
I didn't save her. Yeah. Mm. So I know it's an anger response. It's just a knee jerk anger reaction. Well, never doing that again because it hurts too much. I don't want to hurt you. So it's I think emotional pain and hurt and sadness and grief, and for me at least, there's a layer of anger in there. Just I will never do this again, and I'm gonna go have a little fit, because life didn't work out the way I thought it should. And you know, come on, God, you know, if you're really there, she had a really hard life. We're trying to help her and give her a good one. Well, she got a great dream life for 6 months.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing it that way, right? You know, she had a really hard life. She deserved a family and a beautiful home and a beautiful place to be for a long time. So this sucks. And I get pissed, you know, and that's when I say never again, never again. And then, I'm mad at God, and then I question God, just like I did when I had chronic illness in my 20s, same thing. You know, it's like, okay, God, where are you? Because why am I sick? I'm kind of a good person. I think that it brings all that up. And I think part of why it does in particular with pets is because they are the one thing, even for those of us we're all broken. They're the one thing that for broken, hurting people that have trauma in their history, we allow ourselves to love.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're much easier than loving people.
Because very much.
It's unconditional. Yeah. It's unconditional. And you know whatever love you pour into them is coming back to you a million times from them.
Yeah.
So then I think it feels even more, honestly, it feels more even of a betrayal. It's like, this is wrong. I just poured everything I am into her. And then, I get mad at God. I mean, I got to be honest. I do.
Yeah.
And I talk to clients every day about God and about spirituality and about, you know, truth and this stuff. Well, then this comes up and it's like, ooh, okay. I got some work to do.
Well, yeah, I mean.
So Pastor Gil is here today.
Yeah, but that's thanks. Like that, you know. Yeah, like I don't think it's fair, even theologically. And I've said this before, you know, when I deal with couples that have had stillborn. I mean, I've held stillborn babies at 26 weeks, right?
Okay.
And this family looks up at me, right? It's like, well, Gil, what is this about?
Yeah.
And I don't sit there. I can't stand anyone who, not anyone. I can't, I don't like the behavior that says, I have to have an answer for that right now. I think the last thing I want to be doing is throwing scripture at people. I mean, usually when someone goes, well, you know, I go, well, how about we just sit with that for a while?
Yeah.
I don't, it's unfair to sit there and go, well, here you go.
Yeah.
Now let's go straight to the book of Job, you know? It's like, that's the last thing I want to do until someone can walk, you know, the first thing I want to do is walk with people through that. I want to sit with them in their grief. Just sit with them.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and Jesus wept a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and sometimes that's all that it says.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures just say, God is weeping with you. Well, I want more than that. Well, not now. You're not going to get more than that right now. And that's okay. You know, there's no trite piece to that. It's just presence. It's just, you know, I'm seeking God's presence in it, not an answer. Answers are trite and smug. Mm. You know, I don't want to, I mean, I have them.
No.
But I'm
yeah,
not giving
too.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, I want to, that's the thing. I don't want to short circuit someone's grief process. I just don't. I want that grief process to dig a bigger heart in someone. That's what I want. I mean, I'm scared for you because I've never seen anyone with a heart like yours. I don't even know where somebody goes. How do they dig a bigger heart in Beth? I have no idea, but I guess God's backhoe's kind of beep, beep. You know, he's coming back. He's going to, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, when you said, I'm done, I'm out. I was like, well, come on. Come on in. Let me know more whenever you want. You know, Beth has shed so many tears. Her face is, no lie, her face is chapped, right? I love people who cry so much their face is chapped. It meant they loved like nobody's business. And the last thing I'm going to do, Beth, with you is go, that's right. No more of these dogs. I'm like, let me know when. You can tell me when if you want more. That's okay. I mean, but I love tear-stained, chapped cheeks, you know, chapped faces. It means you love. And you know what? Good for you. Good for you. You know, I'd rather celebrate you than be the answer man. You know, that's not, I don't want to be that kind of husband. You know, I've seen husbands like that. It's pretty rough. I've seen men, come on. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I want to be the kind of guy that can oversee a remodeling of someone's heart where God digs it to be even bigger. I just go, wow, that person deserves it. Incredible. I mean, you know, I think that's you. And I would, the last thing I would ever do is be that weirdo husband who goes, come on, that's so uncomfortable for me to see your emotions. This is awful. Here's the answer. We're going to get more Rottweilers tomorrow. Get over it. I love that one. Get over it. Really? I hear guys, most men in our culture have never been shown the way, you know, in this. And I get it, but I also go, nope. I'm kind of looking at you going, go ahead, you know, how about you stain some more of my shirts with your tears too? That's okay. Stain as much as you need to, you know, I might take a week, a month, a year, 2 years. But when I hear this thing of, you know what, I'm never doing that again. I'm hardening my heart. I'm becoming jaded. I go, oof. I've seen that with people and you can tell they're just done and done. I mean, I've seen it with women, with men. I'm done with men. You know, I'm like, no, me too. I get it. You know.
You are too.
I know there's probably people going, that's enough of that Gil guy. I'm glad I got over men with that freak. Well, yeah. Talk about a never-ending apology letter I write to people for being around me sometimes. I don't blame them, you know. I'm figuring it out too. I mean, we're all in it, right? Figuring it out. We're all kind of dropped in here and we're figuring it out. But I'll say this, the answer shouldn't be, and I mean this, like it shouldn't be, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because boy, I get jaded wins. you know, the other side wins in that, and I'm not giving them that win. And I'm glad you don't either, Beth. And I'm glad, Nicole, you too. I mean, I know your heart. I mean, my goodness. You know, so I'm honored to be part of this excavating process of during grief where your heart gets bigger. And when you're going through that.
We just have to part of the deal.
Yeah.
It is. It is. We're all given that challenge, you know. When I was little, I remember going through a lot of pain. I came from an abusive home, and I remember being really abused. And I remember going, okay, I better figure this out, you know, as my clothes were, you know, dropped in the garage and I got beat, you know. I remember thinking, I'm not letting hate and pain win. But I had no idea what that meant. I didn't have there was no class for that one. You know, there's no book somebody gave me that went, here you go, figure this one out. You know, it's like, well, I just know that I can't let hate and pain and jadedness win. But boy, did I figure out some ways to survive. And those don't work later, but they worked for me then.
Yeah, that's the key.
I learned how to keep going, but I had to run into this thing later in life where I had to go, okay, that has to go. The way I survived that isn't the way to do life now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I had to go through some things to get here. And even now, I go, oh, like, Nicole, I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, I don't know what graduate level grief looks like. I mean, I kind of do. I see it out there sometimes. I go, oof, that was amazing. What's been amazing for me is that I look at Beth and others have too in this whole process, and we're all going, hey, Beth, like, we want to ceremonialize how she's loved this latest dog, right? We go, well, we got to, and she's over there going, screw that ceremony right now. I just want to check out. I'm like, yeah, of course you would. Anything less would be you didn't love that beautiful little Ellie enough, you know. You loved her so much that here we go. Dang it. Uncomfortable. That's okay. Beth says to me, I love it. She goes, Gil, I'm sorry that, you know, how'd you say it? You're something like, I'm sorry I bring you into this thing, you know. And I'm like, I'm in. You know, what's the option? Yeah, I wish I would have married a hardened heart woman, you know. Hell yeah. Where's Helga? Helga the robot. Dog. Must find new dog. Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait to marry Helga. There's Helgas out there.
Well, yeah, that's like someone emailed me and I said, you know, sorry I didn't get back to you today. My little girl Ellie is sick.
Yeah.
She goes, I hope it gets better.
That's so
some part of me wishes I was like that.
Right.
For a second.
And part of me is like, yeah, woo, I love it. Helga.
But
I
you know what? I mean, it's a really, we're laughing, but it's an excellent point that you're making. Because I don't want to go through life being a robot. I wouldn't last very long. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, you think it sounds all great? Yeah, try it on. I don't think so.
Yeah.
That comes from a lot of pain, too. So, you know.
Yeah. Well,
that's when they hang on to the pain.
What, Nicole?
Living like that, shut up. You're hanging on to the pain. You're not letting it go. You're always in pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'll say this though: if you struggle getting through grief in this world, because if you get a life, you get problems. You know, you get a life, you get pain. I hate to say it, it's honest. I really wish. I mean, there's no class. At least I didn't have a class in the United States. The good old U.S. of A. didn't have any classes for this. It wasn't like, you know, pain 101 ever showed up in my. And yeah. Matter of fact, I grew up post depression. Parents, right? My grandparents went through the depression. And they taught their kids, man, the only thing you need to buck up and figure out how to make money. And you know what? That's unfair to beat them up, because in their mind it was, if you go into the arts, if you go into anything that's like, you know, you're gonna die poor, and you're gonna, you know, the pain for you is gonna be so great. So what do we need to do? Well, let's start becoming engineers and accountants. And we put schools out there that's what they did. If you notice what schools did post-Depression, it was all about becoming an engineer and an accountant. Mm. And this theater thing was for real weirdos. And so, you know, we did, right? So we have movies out there like Rent, right? These movies about all these folks who cut against the grain and went for it. But most of them was like, well, they checked out. We just watched a movie called The Civil Action. The whole idea of that was, right? I mean, they had the accountants. They had an environmental issue in a town in Massachusetts. And the wonderful hero of that was a lawyer who decided to give it all up, mortgage his home, all of his practices, homes, everybody that was with him, and they lost. And the reason that movie is great is because it showed the reality of what it means sometimes to be a person who loves so much.
Well, yeah, he sacrificed himself.
He did. And I think what our parents wanted to do was save us from that. And so they looked at us and went, like, I know for me, I was the weirdo in the family that sat there and brought his saxophone downstairs, and my little, I would sing at the table, you know, I was singing at the table, you know, and my, where did we get this guy? You know, they looked over at my mom. Did you have an affair? Because this is not what we expected from this. And my mom kind of set up this little triage for me as I went through life, because I was the reckless weirdo, you know, but that's okay, right? I mean, I get it. But I felt pain, you know? I was the guy at the dude at the table that wept. And then it was like, let's set up another table for that guy in another room. We kind of did that, didn't we? We were, Thanksgiving's coming up. It was like, well, we have the adult table over here, and then the kids are in that room. Why is that? Because those kids have nothing to offer us here. They're going to come in and be happy, and so they're going to have the happy kid there. Well, that's a weird kid. And then we're going to have the kid that... There's that kid over there that cries about stuff. That kid, you know, all the emotion that kids bring, a table somewhere.
That's so funny.
It's true.
I know it is. It is true.
You know, and then I never left it. True. I never left the kids' table. I was like 30, and I'm still there.
You're still there.
I know.
Kids' table?
I am. It's like this big kid over there.
Our neighbor told him that the other day, and I said, Gil, take that as a compliment.
Yeah, she did. What did she say? We went and visited.
She's like, oh, you're a kid.
Yeah, she goes, you're like a big kid. Well, that's
a compliment. I would take it as a compliment.
Well, at first, it kind of hurt. It kind of made me go, oh, man, dang it, what did I do wrong? That was my first thought. What did I do wrong in that? We're trying to get to know our new neighbors, Nicole. And so we go around, and we're just, dressed up for Halloween, Beth and I. We went door to door. And I'm not sure we're getting invited back. I think that's kind of rough.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. We did. They're like, whoa, who are you guys? Oh, it's our neighbors. Ooh, they're a little funky.
Oh, our culture just kind of beats that stuff out of you.
They do, and I'm not going to let it happen. Yeah, that's why I do. So, nope, Ellie, and I kid you not, she died with a smile on her face. Oh, I have pictures of her. Her left eye, a tumor had hit a nerve and squeezed this nerve, and so her left eye drooped, you know? She had a droopy eye for a while. And it was leaking, and it was just, you know. And by gosh, she hit the joy pedal even harder when she was, it's like she was singing on the way to the vet. Hey, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I took pictures of it because it was so crazy to me. But then I thought to myself, I want to be like that.
Yep.
I do. I want to be joyful, even in the hardest parts, you know? So I wrote that down. I said, okay, I want to be like that. This is the funkiest thing you'll ever see. She is. She just, you know, here's Beth, right? And she's like totally given her love, and she was sitting there with the biggest smile on her face and her little left droopy eye leaking out. And it was almost like she said, okay, I'm ready. And we're like, we're not.
Yeah.
Well, she smiled. She smiled from the second I picked her up.
Yeah.
Until the second she died.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's still.
Well, she's a kids' table phenomenon, you know?
Yeah.
Most people are like, oh, no, my gosh. It's like, well. Anyway, Nicole, I think it's from the uplifting to the unexplained. I just know in the uncomfort, you know, whatever the U words are, uplift, you know, unexplained, uncomfortable, unknown. But I know we know when we see it. That's the thing. I'll go, I see that. Look, that's a person who is involved in life all the way, and yet they still offer joy and peace. And they just do, they got it. So I'm going to I'm looking for the treasure map here. And Beth and I are involved in looking for the treasure. And I said this, we're getting there. You know, so if any of your listeners, you know, if they ever, and this is shameless self-promotion, but really it's more for Beth, right? It's like, boy, if you've got people out there who are going, I need that treasure map through this awful experience, call her. I'm serious. You know, I love you and Ellie both. I just loved watching you guys. I'm really grateful for that. You know, I told Beth, I said, God, out of all the people, we just bumped over 8 billion people now in the world this week. We have 8 billion. I don't even know where they are, but they're out there. And out of 8 billion people, God chose you for that little girl's last 6 months. And then I told Beth this because I'm also a little wayward little character, you know.
Little
character. And I thought God went, man, that guy needs some love, you know. That guy, who am I going to pick for that? Out of 8 billion people, he picked you for me, you know?
Oh.
So we're whatever our next little rugrat's going to be, I know God's already picking him out for Beth, you know? And that's pretty amazing to me. So I'll do some shameless promotion on that one. You know? And Nicole, I know, you know, sweet. Pretty awesome.
I really appreciate you guys sharing this today because, you know, it's especially this audience here, we get very bonded with our friends and soulmates and, you know, it's, it's, we feel it more than the average Joe, right? It can be really challenging.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it as you've been talking. Every one of my pets that's passed over the years, you know, like they've impacted all our friends almost to the same level as, like they just became so close to everyone. When our cat was passing, like everybody came by just to sit with her. There's this ongoing entourage of people coming in and out just to sit with Jasmine before she was going through her, you know, transition. And all of my pets have been that impactful on people. It's been interesting. They're truly like, they're not just, you know, how some people think about pets on this inferior level. It's not like that here.
No, I'd say superior.
Well, you know, we're coming up. You're right. Like I would all, you know, people are always like, well, how did you, you know, grow these churches to 10,000 some people, you know, in a very short amount of time? I'm like, well, I don't really know. I just know that, you know, it's like that Christmas story in Rudolph, you know, where they have this island of misfit toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you got Charlie in the box.
right?
Instead of Jack,
Instead of Jack, you got Charlie. But you all these where Santa had an island for all those folks. And I would always say, you know, in our churches, I'd say, you know, it's okay. Not only is it okay, you're celebrated. Like, you need to be a misfit toy. It's okay. Like, we were just in our churches were islands of misfit toys. And you're, in all honesty, though, they were the best ones. You know, and we were the best ones. And so we just would say, we just have this island. And if you're in this place where you're feeling like a little bit miscast or misfit, kind of maybe you feel like this misfit toy. It's like, well, then you're welcome here. And more than welcome, you're celebrated, you know. And so all of a sudden we look up and there's 10,000 people.
Wow.
And, you know, because you're okay. You're beyond okay. You're the ones that God just has a super huge place in his heart for you. If you're willing to acknowledge it, you know, you're willing to say, okay, you know, I'm all right with that. I mean, it's a great thing. You know, and that's so to be there and to feel like you're that. And you know, Beth will say, I just don't feel like I was meant for this world sometimes. And I'm like, well, of course not. You're a misfit toy. But you're more than celebrated. You know, it's like you're the one. Like, good on God just goes, yep. Man, if you're willing to sit there and go, I'm going to let these little quirks. You know, I think you have a friend of yours, a little friend of Beth, she calls him Quirky. She calls you Quirky, Kelly. She says, hey, Quirky. You know, and I love it's like, man, if you're a little quirky, you know, you're good. You know, if you're one that your family goes, oh, they're a little, that's that one we kind of wondered, did Mom have an affair, you know? Well, you know, then you have a seat at the table with God. That's what gets you in. You know, people ask, well, what does it mean to, I'm like, well, you know, heaven's not going to be anything like you think. You think it's all these perfect, righteous, wonderful, you know, we're all going to be so surprised. You know, you're going to go, oh, see, I own the misfit toys. And we all get, I always tell my friends, you know, you're going to know where to find me. I'll be at in heaven, I'll be the one in the east gate that doesn't fit. You know, I'll be around this misfit toy campfire. Just come on over. You know, it's going to be me and all my misfit toy friends, and that's all right. You know, that's, they need to be, you know, that's good. You know, and these, yeah, so somewhere in there, we've all been molded by pain, and I think that that's the ticket. You know, you hung in there, and yeah, like News for the Soul. I'm so glad, Nicole, you've got this thing, this community that you've built over 25 years. You know, this island of this. Ah, you're amazing. You know, people that do that. You know, that's what I loved about our churches, you know, they've just always had been that. And it's been this real light in the middle of this darkness, you know. It's like, you know, so don't give up. I know that much. Don't give up. You know, when Beth says, and I get it, I can't, this world is not meant for me. This is not okay, and it hurts. And I'm like, good, you hang in there. Mm-hmm. And I'll wrap my arms around you on that one, and I'll take those arrows and bullets because we got to have you. You know, and Nicole, same with you. We got to have you. And I know you get tired. I'm sure you get tired and you wonder, you know, and, you know, you got people like us calling in and trying to help people, and we need it too. And so, you know, it's good. It's like, don't quit. I think that's the biggest danger, is that we want to just quit and check out and mm-hmm. figure out, you know, I did. There's a point in my life I'm like, what? And I go, well, I shouldn't wake up tomorrow. And all of a sudden, there I was again, breathing. And I'm like, dang it. You know, God still wants me here. So, you know, he does. He or she or whoever, whatever you say. So, you know, I don't know what you do with that. But I know this much. Big, it's awesome, you know, to stick around. So I'm glad to see Beth kind of still staying in there. You know, I'm glad you're. You know, I get why you'd want to say, I'm checking out. And I looked at you this morning, you know, we were laying there together, and I said, no, you gotta keep on. We gotta have you.
Well, how would you describe the process to not being consumed by the grief or the pain or the, you know, fired and giving up and, you know, what's the formula?
The download of that. I do a little bit, but I want to hear you. You have such a great breath.
You can.
Well, I think first thing I want to say is you should be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that if you're not, then, you know, then you've done something to build a dam up against the pain, and that,
mm-hmm.
that is dangerous.
Or dissociation.
Yeah. It's like you've figured out how to, man, it's so true, right? It's like be really cautious of this disassociative piece of you. It's what sociopaths have actually, that's one of the marks of a sociopath, is mm-hmm. someone who has figured out how to compartmentalize pain, where they've figured out how to not be consumed. And they actually see that as a pod, like, look at me, I figured it out. And then you get around that person, you're like, ugh, like, man, you know, they've figured it out, right? No, don't. You're more whole than you know when you've been consumed by this thing. And so there's a period of time that you want to have people in your life, and you have this, and you've cultivated a relationship with God. This is a big deal that you've cultivated that. And over time, right? Like, you've allowed this to happen, that, I mean, that's the biggest temptation in pain, is figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
True. So allow the consuming, it's a fire. You know, we say it's an all-consuming fire, and you feel that. You feel the searing heat, right? And so you want to make sure then that you have you're buffered by also the right people. You know, I'll say this to Beth. One of the things that we are the danger is that you see your weirdness as, well, I can't tell anyone, because then when I've done that in the past, they think they kind of check out. They don't know how to sit with me. So I find sitters that will sit with me around that fire, and they allow me to just lose it. You know, that's what we call it, right? I lost it. I'm like, no, you found it. You didn't lose anything. You found it. What I find, the answer is you are losing it, and it's okay. Or it's beyond okay. It's what you have to have happen. I want those are the people I want in my life when I go through it and I lose it. We're a bunch of people that have lost it. You know? I'm serious.
I know. I just love how you say things.
Yeah, good for you. You know? Then don't feel bad either. Go ahead. Let her rip. You know? But make sure you don't start saying things to yourself. Like, well, I'm a weird person. Well, I don't, you know. I'm scaring myself in this, or, you know, whatever it would be. Yeah, something's wrong with me. I do that, and I get it, but that's okay. You're on, you know, so you want to have people that go, oh my gosh, you felt like that too? You're feeling like that too? Good. Me too. You want to find the me too people, not the, whoa, you know, you already know the people that are going to block you, you know, using our current culture's words on social media, right? Block. Block, you know, I wrote something about this yesterday on for social media, right? I put pictures out. I wrote about this pain, and I put it out there. And the first thing I thought was, wow, I'm going to lose followers, right? Well, I, you know, check out with me. I just want to say thanks. You're making it easy. I don't mean that bad to them, but it's like, thank you. I don't want to be fooled by you, right? If you're uncomfortable and you say block or unfollow or whatever, thank you. It's all right. I'm going to find my tribe through this. And I love social media for that. They make it easy. I told Beth the other day, one of my friends checked out on me. Mm-hmm. And it hurt a little. I own it. really like that guy, and but I get it for him, where he goes, that's too much for me. You're too much for me. Okay, well, all right. And I'm not mad. I hurt a little bit because I like that person, but I understand why they would do that with me. I'm not an easy one for some in that way. You know, here I am, you know. You know? But I'm okay with that. We run the risk, right, Nicole? You might send us an email after this show. Hey, you guys, we don't. Mm-hmm. You need to have more answers than problems. Didn't ask you anything to make us all feel uncomfortable.
But right. You know what? That's why it's perfect, because I've never proposed that anyone has all the answers here. I'm a reporter. I have questions. I mean, that's how I started this and the authentic people with bringing their unique pieces here, they're showing up in the same way. Nobody has all the answers. And if they tell me they do, I go, and go the other way.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
At a brisk pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we want, I guess our first thought would be, it's okay to sit in that, and it's okay to sit in the fear of no one's going to understand, and it's okay. But find those people that we live in a world where you can find those people now. You know, Beth and I know this for a fact. Beth and I, because gosh, how many people jumped on that post? Probably, I mean, that thousands, right? And so those are the ones. I mean, some will say, oh, thanks for that. Well, we know, you know, they're a part of our tribe there, but we also know there's a lot of voyeurs out there, and voyeurs are watching. They don't know what to do with it yet. And you know what? Good for you. Keep on voyeuring. You know, voyeurs are like little, I don't want to trigger your audience here, but they're peeping toms, right? They for pain, not for weird stuff, but they're peeping toms on with pain, right? They're going, oh, I don't know, just look at that. I don't know. Like, they're not going to sit there and show up and go, hey, you guys, right? But they're watching. And I want that. I want because our culture doesn't know how to deal with pain.
That's very true.
Yeah. And it's okay to be out. I'm not sure yet whether I want to put my hand up.
Right.
Well, okay. But I'll tell you what, I know who our tribe. I know we've got a tribe, and it's not just a couple people. It's hundreds and thousands. I know that.
And everyone goes through pain. It's the great equalizer. It's a great equalizer. Look at our neighbor. I mean, our neighbor has a severe form of Parkinson's disease. And he was a high-flying attorney and a commodore of a sailing crew and a brilliant man.
Brilliant attorney.
And
one of the tops in the world.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. And he is crumpled up.
Yeah.
And a prisoner in his body. And that pain is a great equalizer. It doesn't matter what his education is or his background or his level of success. None of that matters. So everyone goes through massive pain in this life. And that's why I think your post, that's why a lot of people are on there, because but yes, they may be looking for answers, but they're also looking for people to be real about it. Helga, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because we all have it, and then you have an affinity with one another when you realize someone else, is there too, and they're handling it in a real way with raw and real emotion, and that attracts other people to that because people want to feel better, but they also want to know that other people understand. And we go around in our culture like none of it matters. And it's one of the big things that actually does matter.
Yeah, it's funny because I asked if I could come see him,
Yeah, our neighbor. Yeah.
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 And he was like, yeah, like his wife's like, my gosh, But it's a pretty empty house, and you can tell. I mean, we have to hire people, right, to come take care of us when we're lame, not lame bad. I mean, like lame, like we're hurting, we're a prisoner in our own body. And I'm like, I just want to hang with that guy. Because I mean, he says, we don't have anything in common. I want to go, yes, we do.
Oh my gosh.
We have one thing fully in common. that this life sucks at times, and we've been in deep pain. We all know it, right? We have a lot more in common than we think. But we want to make it about what your political persuasion, or what church you go to, what religion are you, what are, you know. We love to talk about the differences.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you what, we have a ton in common when it comes to this life. We're going through it.
Right.
And the minute we all get, this is going to sound really preachy, but I don't care. The minute we around what is what we all have really in common is the minute we win.
Sure.
And so I sized this guy up. Well, you sized him up, did you? How long did that take? 5 seconds. I'm a profiler. Really? Darn straight. Jeez. You know, knock it off. Yeah, let's get down to what we really are having in common. And once we get down to that stuff, then won't matter the other stuff. You know?
On that note, I just realized we're at the tippy top of the hour. Yeah. How did that happen? My
sure.
goodness.
Right.
We've got to wrap this up into a neat little package.
Well, we sure love you, and we sure are thankful that you have this space. And I've already done some shameless promotion about Beth. So besthealingsolutions.com, B-E-S-T, healingsolutions.com. There's a spot, there's a community there of folks who help people through pain. We'll see you there.
All right. Well, I just really want to thank you and honor you for showing up authentically rather than launching into, you know, the planned topic. Someone out there needed to have this conversation today. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Nicole.
Yeah. We love you.
Love you guys. And we will see you in 2 weeks back here. Be well.
Can't wait.
Be well. Love you.
All right. Beth and Gil are all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. What's next? I forgot. It's something right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.